The content of this program is intended for print and visually impaired audience. Hello, I'm Shadate Hargett Hill from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Connect to Success. For the next half hour, I'll be sharing with you uplifting stories of people who are visually blind, print impaired, and who have overcome the many obstacles in their lives, and we hope that this helps you to connect to your own success. Last month, we were discussing the 10 incredible stories about blind people, and we left off at number 2. But before we do that, let's do a little bit of a recap, shall we? This comes from the listverse.com, the 10 incredible stories about blind people. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole thing that I went through last month, but I will just give you a little bit of the highlights. So at number 10, we have the blind movie critic. His name is Tommy Edison, and Tommy Edison watches movies. He reviews them on YouTube, even though he was born without vision. Edison has always loved film, and when he started posting reviews many years ago, his videos attract thousands of viewers. He has been hailed one of the greats as far as that, and of course, critics have given him the 2 thumbs up for doing what he does. He says, I'm not distracted by all the beautiful shots and attractive people. I watch a movie for the writing and acting. And since he only judges what he can hear, Edison doesn't care for CGI heavy action blockbusters. But on the other hand, he's a big fan of the Die Hard movies. Even more fascinating than his reviews are the videos on his second channel, where he answers interesting questions from his viewers, such as how a blind person learns to smile, whether blind people can understand descriptions of color, and whether Edison would want to see if he was granted the ability. Simple yet profound, Edison's personal vlogs give an amazing insight into the world of the blind. At number 9 was The Soldier Who Sees with His Tongue. Greg Lundberg is the guy. He was a 24-year-old Lance Corporal serving in Basra, Iraq, when his life changed forever. In 2007, the young soldier found himself on the wrong end of an RPG, receiving serious wounds to his head, face, and arms. Even worse, the attack left him completely blind. Doctors were forced to remove his left eye, leaving him with a right eyeball that was totally useless. Suddenly, Lance Corporal Lundberg was lost in the dark. Lundberg was prepared to spend his life relying on his guide dog when he was chosen by the Ministry of Defense to test a crazy piece of sci-fi technology called the Brain Port. After donning a pair of sunglasses equipped with a video camera, images from the camera were converted into electrical pulses and sent to the, quote, lollipop, a device sitting on Lundberg's tongue. Scientists aren't sure what happened next, but the signals coursed through his tongue and ended up either in the visual cortex or the somatosensory cortex, the part that processes touch. Either way, Lundberg could now see, well, sort of. While the lollipop felt like licking a 9-volt battery, Lundberg could suddenly make out 2-dimensional images. He could identify simple shapes, didn't need help moving, and could pick up objects without fumbling around. Even more surprising, he could make out letters, giving him the ability to read. Now, while the device is still in development, it promises to give Lundberg a completely new life, although he says he's never getting rid of his fateful guide dog. At number 8, The Explorer Who Tracked to the South Pole. Now, you know, we've all heard of Eric Weinheimer, the blind adventurer who scaled Mount Everest, but he isn't the only visually challenged superhuman laughing in Mother Nature's face. We are talking about former Royal Navy sailor Alan Locke. Locke dreamed of becoming a submarine officer, but during training, he lost his eyesight in 6 short weeks to macular degeneration. And inspired by his disability, Locke set out to conquer the world. Between 2003 and 2012, he competed in 18 marathons, climbed Mount Elbrus, and became the first blind person to row across the Atlantic Ocean. Still not satisfied with his list of awesome achievements, Locke decided to try something even cooler. Literally, with the help of two sighted friends and a guide, the 31-year-old set off from the Antarctic coast, determined to ski to the South Pole, hauling a 60-kilogram, 130-pound sled across his waist and battling freezing winds. Locke and his companions traveled 960 kilometers, that's 600 miles, over 39 days, snacking on dehydrated foods and chunks of butter. Not only did he become the first blind person to reach the South Pole, he earned over $25,000 for charities that help the visually challenged. What a world. Number seven, the blind woman who can see movement. In 2000, 29-year-old Melina Channing suffered a stroke that wiped out her primary visual cortex. This should have left her completely blind, but Channing swore she saw rain as it fell to the earth. She saw cars whizzing past her window and even saw her daughter running and playing. When doctors analyzed Channing's brain, they thought she must have been mistaken. It was neurologically impossible for her to see anything other than a big empty void. Well, there was one person who believed in her. That was Charles. Gordon Dutton. Dr. Dutton, a physician who believed her story, said that he suspected Channing was instead experiencing Red X phenomenon, a strange syndrome that allows people to see moving shapes but nothing else. To test his theory, the doctor had Channing sit in a rocking chair and move back and forth. Suddenly, she could see the world moving past her. Sure enough, 5 years after the stroke, a group of researchers confirmed that the part of Channing's brain that processed motion was still intact. Instead of sending signals to her visual cortex, her eyes were routing information to the region in charge of interpreting movement. Fortunately, with the help of Dr. Dutton, Channing has slowly started seeing things more clearly. She still cannot make out faces of those around her, as part of her brain dedicated to that process no longer functions, but the fact that she can see anything at all is nothing short of amazing. At number six, the painter who can't see his own art. Born in Istanbul in 1953, Esra Armagan had two strikes against him before he even took his first breath. Not only was his family poor, his eyes were completely worthless. One was the size of a lentil, while the other just didn't work. Despite his bad breaks, Armagan was a curious kid. Waiting and wanting to explore, he started touching everything he could get his hands on, and eventually he started drawing. Starting at age six, he eventually graduated from butterflies and colored pencils to portraits and oil paintings. Working in silence, Armagan visualizes an image and then makes an outline with a braille stylus. How amazing is that? In 2009, a Swedish car company hired Armagan to paint their new S60. After tracing the car's outline with his fingers, he whipped up a rather impressive painting, especially considering he couldn't see his subject. In addition to commissioned work, Armagan's paintings have shown up in Netherlands, the Czech Republic, the U.S., and China. He's even appeared in an episode of Discovery's The Real Superhumans. He also doodled for a lot of his time. Harvard researcher asked the Turk to draw a few sketches from the inside of an MRI scanner. And as he doodled away, he saw they were able to see more images of him, and they could not believe how his brain worked and how it was able to function the way it did. So that's another amazing story. At number 5, the man who hacked the phone system. Joe Igresia was a very freaky guy. Born blind in 1949, this precocious kid spent his days playing with phones, calling random numbers, and listening to recordings for fun. It was his only way as a visually challenged geek could entertain himself back in the 50s. He was also one of those kids who enjoyed whistling, and it was this combination of these weird hobbies that led Igresia to discover the secret world of telephone system. Okay, so when he was just 8, Igresia was making a call and whistling when the recording suddenly stopped. He tried it again and realized that whenever he whistled at 2,600 hertz, the message would cut off. Thanks to his songbird powers, he could fool the tone-based system into thinking he was an operator. From there, the possibilities were endless. He could place long-distance calls for free, or chat with multiple people on conference calls. Eventually, he got so good that he routed a call all the way around the globe and back to himself on separate receivers. Now, obviously, this was very illegal, and Igresia was arrested twice. Instead of scaring him straight, though, the notoriety thrust him into the center of a bizarre subculture. Listen to this. As it turned out, Joe wasn't the only one to figure out the phone lines. In 1970s, freaking, the term for tinkering with the phone system, was a regular hacker activity, and Igresia became one of their leaders. Some of these tech-savvy kids like Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak went on to greatness. But Igresia, on the other hand, wasn't so lucky. Though he had an IQ of 172, a rough home life coupled with sexual abuse by a teacher totally messed with his mind. During his later life, Igresia changed his name to Joy Bubbles and insisted he was 5 years old. Joy Bubbles listened to Mr. Rogers' tapes religiously, collected toys, talked to imaginary friends, and lived off Social Security checks. Sadly, Igresia passed away in 2007, leaving behind an impressive but depressing legacy. At number 4, the inventor who created cruise control. We got to give him a thanks. Anyone who's even ever driven a car owes a debt of gratitude to Ralph Teeter. During the 1940s, he invented one of the most useful features in your automobile, cruise control. That's extremely impressive considering that Teeter went blind at the age of 5. He lost his vision in a shop accident, but that didn't stop him from tinkering and building things. In fact, it gave him an edge that sighted inventors lacked. Now, listen to this. He created a lot of things. But in 1902, the 12-year-old built a car out of spare parts. After graduating from the University of Pennsylvania in 1912, he developed a new kind of fishing rod and reel and locking mechanism and method of balancing steam turbine rotors and torpedo boat destroyers. Eventually, he opened his own corporation which specialized in piston rings. But guess what? His greatest achievement came during World War II when he was riding in a car driving by his lawyer. As the story goes, the attorney couldn't talk and drive at the same time. So whenever he started talking, he eased off the brakes. When he stopped, he stepped on the gas. This driving erratically quickly nauseated his blind passenger. Frustrated about it, his friend's inability to drive, Teeter came up with the concept of cruise control. 10 years later, he was applying for a patent, and soon after, it started showing up in Chrysler automobiles. Today, nearly every car on the road has cruise control, all thanks to a blind inventor and, of course, a lousy driver. At number 3, the most famous blind girl in the world. We think it's Helen Keller, right? No, it wasn't. Have you ever heard of Laura Brigman? Well, there was a time when she was the most famous person on the planet. Born in 1829, Brigman lost 4 of her 5 senses at age 2 after a bout of scarlet fever. Left only with a sense of touch, the young girl ended up at the Peterson's Institute in Boston, an asylum run by a man named Samuel Gridley Howe. While he was an unpleasant person, Howe was fascinated with Brigham's case, and by her seventh birthday, he taught Laura how to communicate with the outside world. This was 40 years before Helen Keller was ever born. Brigham was learning to form letters with her fingers and press the shapes into a receiver's palm, slowly spelling out words and sentences. She also learned to read by running her hands over raised type. Thanks to her hard work and Howe's detailed reports, Brigham became an international celebrity, attracting thousands of fans who clamored for her autograph and locks of her hair. People came from all around the world to watch her read and write, and little girls plucked their dolls' eyes out, renaming them Laura. She even met Charles Dickens, who wrote about her in one of his books, making her even more famous. Now, of course, life was still difficult for this young teen. Why? As she grew older, she suffered from anorexia because she couldn't taste or smell any food. She also became the center of a strange experiment. Curious what would happen if someone was cut off from all religious influence, Howe forbade anyone to speak to Laura about spiritual matters. When a group of evangelicals converted her to Christianity anyway, a furious Howe gave up on his pupil. He even went so far as to claim blind people were mentally inferior to the rest of the world. Disowned by her teacher, Brigham spent the rest of her life living at the Perkins Institute, a forgotten figure abandoned by the world. How fascinating is that? Learning more about Laura Brigham. At number two, the world's first blind doctor. Jacob Bollington holds a special place in medical history. The son of impoverished Polish immigrants, the good doctor was born in 1888 in Chicago. Unfortunately, congenital blindness ran in the family, and three out of the seven Bollington children were born blind, including Jacob. Due to his disability, he quickly developed his other senses. Before long, he could recognize people by their scents and comprehend Braille through several layers of cloth. After graduating from a school for the blind, Bollington worked as a salesman, peddling brushes and typewriters on Chicago streetcars. His dream was to become a doctor, but most colleges weren't willing to accept a blind student. After relentlessly hounding university boards, he eventually made it into Chicago College of Medicine. When he finally graduated at 24, he became the first congenitally blind person to become a licensed physician. Bollington's specialty was studying diseases of the heart and lungs. Since he couldn't see his patients, he relied on his fingers and ears to diagnose a patient's ailments. During his internship at Francis Willard Hospital, he diagnosed a young woman with an obstructed heart valve just by feeling her skin and listening to her heartbeat. In addition to his medical work, he traveled across the Midwest giving lectures on blindness and started the first all-blind Boy Scout troop. Sadly, Bollington passed away at age 36, but his funeral drew 5,000 people whose lives were touched by the blind doctor. And at number one, the blind Schindler. Otto White hated the Nazis. As an anarchist and an all-around good guy, he knew Hitler was trouble the moment the tyrant seized power. As Hitler's anti-Semitic policy started playing out in the streets of Berlin, White knew he had to act. Similar to the more famous Oskar Schindler, White ran a shop that mostly employed Jews. The difference was that White's workers were all disabled. He regularly hired deaf, mute, and blind workers from the Jewish home for the blind and paid them to make horsehair brushes and brooms. White knew what it was like to go through life without vision and wanted to help others who had the same problem. Now that Adolf was calling the shots, White had to defend his workers from the Gestapo. He first tried to convince officials that his employees were essential to the war effort. When that didn't work, he resorted to bribery, giving away rare items like champagne, cigars, and perfume. Things became more difficult when the Nazis decided to exile the Jewish population of Berlin. Once the crackdown started, Waite tried to hide his workers, but when a few were caught and dragged to a loading station, Waite talked officials into letting them go right before the train took off. On another occasion, a worker named Alice Light was arrested and thrown into a cattle car bound for Auschwitz. Fortunately, she shoved a postcard through the floor, and the note made its way back to Waite. Despite his blindness, he hurried to Poland and rented a safe house stocked with cash and clothing for the young woman. Waite fell madly in love with Light, but tragically, she left for America after the wreck fell and never saw her blind benefactor again. While no consolation for a broken heart, Waite was posthumously recognized by Yad Vashem as righteous among the nations, a non-Jew who risked everything to save his fellow man. And of course, those were stories about inspirational people that have been through things over time and have made it through. As you know, from some of those stories, they didn't turn out as great as we want them to. But again, such is life, and sometimes it still is a lesson in what we learned about those people. Now let's turn over to Orcam.com. They have some issues about what Orcam is doing and devices that they're using to help people, and more about the landscape. Orcam Learn transforms the exam landscape at Odom College. So Orcam is doing some help with college students. And we see staff and students are acting as assistive technology champions to help students improve their chances of exam success, says Sal McCoin. She spoke to Liz Wilcox, program tutor for dyslexia, and Faye McLaughlin, assistant technologist at Odom College. They were very excited. One of their learners had taken an exam the night before their interview, and a device called Orcam Learn had read the questions and rubric out to her, and she passed. So this piece of equipment is helping students along the way. Sarah has dyslexia. Recently, she has been studying central heating systems in the evening, which is one of the modules of her level 2 plumbing qualifications. While she has improved her literacy skills, exams have been a major hurdle. Many vocational exams are not compatible with text-to-speech software, which left her with the choice of human reader or overwhelming anxiety. Sarah has a history of being so anxious in exams that she freezes and cannot read what is on the screen. This is a problem faced by many candidates, especially in adult education. It is awkward to ask another adult, one who you have never met before, to read text out to you. It is even more embarrassing to say, "Can you please read that again?" "No, sorry, can you read it again?" Well, for exam preparation, there are 5,852 learners enrolled at Odom College and 325 learners with agreed exam access arrangements, although this is increasing daily. So far, there are 5 Orcam Learns that they loan out to students lesson by lesson. These are wireless pen-sized devices that read text aloud, not just from a computer screen, but from a whiteboard, a handout, or even text from a poster or a safety notice on a wall. Sarah continues to borrow one of these 5 devices when she came to college in the evening. Her anxiety has completely reduced, and her independence has shot right up, says one of the teachers. She sat and took the exam the night before, and she passed it. This has been a transformational one for her, so we wouldn't have asked for a better result. That has come from the Orcam Learn. The Orcam Learn has many other people providing training to students on how to use it. When Reading Out Loud is the exam, OrCam Learn is an assistive technology device that can become a learner's usual way of working and help on the day of an exam by giving them access to the text. However, it has a reading pal function that will train users to be better readers. Once children leave primary school, they may have few opportunities for people to hear them read and correct them. Many students who are not confident readers will have strategies in place to help them avoid situations where they read aloud. Reading pal uses artificial intelligence to listen to a student reading and to measure text difficulty level, fluency, measured by words correct per minute, accuracy, or percentage of accurately read words, reading rate, which is the words per minute, and total reading time. Other people, like Amir, who has dyslexia and as a student at a BTEC performing school, art school, courses have found it a challenge to cite, read scripts. Fortunately, Odom College has found a solution that works. So people like Amir and Sarah are now practicing reading using their reading pal, which lets him listen to his reading and give some feedback on what he is getting right or wrong. And when he has a conversation, when they have a conversation with him about getting one next year when he leaves college so that he can be an actor and so he can focus more on his delivery and less on decoding words. So that's going to be good for new people who are wanting to go out there and explore life, like Amir, who wants to be an actor. The OrCam Learn can be used with examination settings by activating exam mode with the QR code, which ensures there's no possibility of any Wi-Fi, cloud, or Bluetooth connectivity, making it fully JCQ compliant. Operating completely offline, OrCam Learn's exam mode is accepted for in-school test taking, allowing students with reading difficulties to complete exams independently and without dependence on teaching assistants to read tests and quizzes out loud to them. So that is a good thing that's happening at Odom College. This, again, is the OrCam Learn, and they're trying to get it out to every student once they graduate from school. They can still use this to get around the world and to use it for things like acting and other professions that children want to learn how to do. It's awesome. And we'll continue to bring you more stories of inspiration and upliftment and motivation coming up next month, of more stories that we'll be bringing you. But unfortunately, we've run out of time for this episode of Connect to Success. We will have more for you, like I said, next month. But until then, the content of this podcast is for people who are visually and print impaired. If you have any questions or concerns or would like more information, you can contact us at 919-832-5138. Again, the number is 919-832-5138, or you can log on to our website at ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. Again, the content of this program is intended for a visually and print impaired audience. I am Shadate Hargett Hill. This is the North Carolina Reading Service, and you are listening to Connect to Success. See you next time on the radio.